Palm Sunday. Yeah. Will you stand with me? We're going to sing today about God's love and God's goodness and his triumph over everything, right? So let's start singing. Sing with me, Praise is Rising. out this to you last week. Sing with me, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary's more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior. Thank you.
sought the Lord, he heard and he answered. So we can trust in this Lord, can't we? This God who loves us so much. I've been reading through the Psalm a lot, and just feels like the refrain over and over is the unfailing love, the steadfast unfailing love. Love of the Lord never fails. It's steadfast. Just over and over and over and over again as you're reading through the Psalm, it feels like that's the theme. And then I think of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That's how much God loves. He poured his love upon us. And then I think of, like, we don't have to look at a lot of scriptures that are obscure. John 3:16. Right? God so loved this world. Not just the world. God so loved humanity on this world. That he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave all the way to giving his son. Amen? So we can sing this reckless, relentless, passionate, pursuing love of God in our lives.
Thank you.
Break our hearts, God, as we sing Hosanna, save us. I was really hoping you would, like, wipe off the table and get up there in that solo, man. I was, like, slashing church. This last week, I had a chance to have a bit of a spiritual retreat with a good friend of mine. And once I landed in Texas, it was about an eight-hour drive each way to where we were going. And we didn't listen to music the whole time. And if you guys don't mind, I would love to have no music right now. If that's possible. He's in the zone. We drove for 8 hours each way, no music. And it wasn't awkward. It was good. And we talked, and it was good. And it was silent, and it was good. And God spoke to us in strange ways, and the things we talked about, and the things that were confessed. And this week, my favorite week of the year, Holy Week, we call it, I really believe God wants to speak to us. It was a tough week physically and a refreshing week spiritually for me. And I want that to be the case for all of us as we consider God coming to earth, sacrificing physically, the tough physical stuff so that we might find rest. So let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we seek you today in a special way, maybe even in a new way, Lord, as we hope to really understand how much you love us, that everything you've done is for us, for our good, for our redemption. And so, Lord, I want us to come to you in silence right now and just let you speak to us in a way that might be awkward for some of us, but let's just let Him speak to us here for just a minute. Lord, might we come to you like the children did on that Palm Sunday when you came to Jerusalem. Might we bow to you and just be a witness to all that happens this week as events unfold and as you show us your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, now is the time that back home in Oklahoma we would call pass the peace pipe, but we're just going to pass the peace in a normal way here. It involves the shaking of hands, maybe a hug. It's a little different here in Florida. But anyway, please rise, say hi to some people you may not know, and say hi to old friends.
Friends, it is good to be with you this morning. Yes, what a good morning so far, right? Oh, I kind of just wanted to keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. Love that feeling. Well, this morning we are going to read a bit of scripture, which I think is fitting for such a week as this, right? And so will you pray with me our prayer for understanding? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we will hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Amen. So hear these words with joy. We're going to start in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is right in the middle. So if you've got like a physical paper Bible, it's somewhere near the middle. But Isaiah 43, and I'll be reading verses 15 through 21. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel all for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. And then in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke is the third gospel. Luke 1, verses 68 through 79. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because the Lord, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins because of God's tender mercy. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. I'm going to do something weird today. Is that okay? In some traditions, when the gospel is read, the pastor will come and stand in the middle to represent how God came to us. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to get closer to you. I mean, that's what God did, right? John 12, 12 through 16. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The week of his crucifixion, Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem. The events that follow will literally change the world. He rides through the crowd, not on a white horse, but on a borrowed donkey. The people bow down, shout Hosanna, and wait for his next move. The crowds not only place palm branches at his feet, but they also place on his shoulders their own expectations of a conquering king who will overthrow Rome. Jesus will not only disappoint them, he will disrupt them and will shatter their assumptions about power and justice. You're invited into a moment of reset and discovery, because the events around the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the absolute answer to every longing heart. May God give us eyes to see.
It has many versions. So I'm going to give you the one that I've heard, okay? You might be like, "Oh yeah, I think I recognize this." I don't know. Maybe you'll be like, "This is brand new and awesome." There's a story that goes like this. It happened during one of the wars, and there was a checkpoint at the border. And there were guards that would check as vehicles came and went through the checkpoint, right? Can you picture it in your mind? Well, there was this man that would drive every day in this rickety old bus. And he would come to the checkpoint, and the guards were just convinced this guy is smuggling something. So the guards would stop the bus, and every day they would make him get out of the bus. They would go in, they would check what was inside, they would check underneath, then they would climb on top because he always had something covered with tarps with bicycles thrown on top of it to hold the tarps down. And so the guard, one in particular, would always climb up and he would throw down the bikes and he would throw off the tarps and he would see these 5-gallon buckets filled with junk and he would throw them off looking for something that the guy was smuggling. He wouldn't find anything, and so then he'd climb down and say, "Okay, put your stuff back on and take off." And so the man would have to reload the buckets and reload the tarp and reload the bicycles and climb in the bus, and he would drive through the checkpoint. And the very next day, the same thing happened. "I know you're smuggling something. Get out of the bus." And he'd make him stand out there. He'd climb in, look inside, look underneath, go up top, throw off the bikes, throw off the tarps, throw off the 5-gallon buckets. "I don't see anything. Okay, clean it up and get on your way." The man would do it all, and every day, day after day after day, he couldn't figure out, "I know this guy is smuggling something across the border, but I can't figure out what it is." Well, the war eventually ended, and, oh goodness, I don't want to shock you Nazarenes, but the next scene takes place in a bar, and, sorry, and the guy is, the guard is having a drink, and he sees this bus driver man come into the bar and sit down, and it's like, I just got to know. So he goes over to the man, and he says, "Hey, you know, friend, I've searched your bus dozens and dozens of times. I know you were smuggling something, but I could never figure out what it was. I mean, the war's over. We're both just citizens. You're my brother. Tell me, what were you smuggling?" And the man looked at the guard and he said, "Bicycles?" Right there in front of him. And he missed it. Sounds crazy, right? And yet, if you were like me, you know what it's like to be looking for your keys for 30 minutes, only to have them right where you always put them. Am I the only one? No. Yeah. Or your glasses. You spend all this time looking for your glasses and they were like this the whole time. We would never miss things right in front of us, would we? Yeah. I don't know. Once someone tells you what it is, it's plain to see. I could say, you know, he said bicycles, and you're like, oh, that's so clearly it was bicycles. Yeah, yeah. But it's easy to miss when you're in the moment. So what I want us to do is we're going to go through. I'm not going to read the text again. The Isaiah, the John, and the Luke text that Jen read are our passages for the day. But I want to go back and talk about them each. And I want you to see them all through a similar lens. I want you to think, what do these have in common? And we're going to kind of work through. You with me? So, I think they have a similar pattern. Let's start all the way back with the oldest one, about 700 BC with Isaiah. So you've got this Isaiah passage. And he has these statements about all that God has been, all that God will be, and all that God is now. He says, God is seen as the one who created. He's always been their king. He freed them from Egypt. He's been with them. We are the ones that turned away. God never left. God was always with us from the beginning. Through the Exodus, through the wandering, through Sinai. Like, God has been with us. And he has this section on this future perfection that we're promised, where God will make all things new. I don't know if you remember in verses 20 and 21, Jen talks about the land will be restored. The animals will live in harmony. God's people will be completely refreshed. The whole earth will be made new and honor God. So you have this God of the past. You have this God of the future. And then you also have this God that is still with them, even then, in their exile. God was with them. You know, it says, okay, forget all that. Everything you saw God do, everything we can imagine, that's nothing compared to what God is doing right now. He says, see, I've already begun. Do not see it? And he tells of a God who is restoring them even then while they're still in their exile. Because he's not just a God of then and he's not just a God of someday. He's the God of the now, right now. He's moving, he's saving, he's restoring right now. All of this right there in front of them, and they were still missing it. So then you have this passage in Luke, and it's often seen as a Christmas story because it's talking about John the Baptist and Jesus being born. And so you have Zechariah, and if you remember the story, the angel came to his wife Elizabeth. She said, you're going to have a son. Zechariah doesn't believe it, so the angel makes it to where he can't speak or hear. Wait, no. Yes, he can't speak. Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. Until the baby's born. They bring him for the 8th day ritual of circumcision. They say, what's his name going to be? They assume it's going to be Zechariah Jr. And she says, it's John. They're like, no, it's Zechariah. It's John. And finally, Zechariah takes a tablet. He says, his name is John. And his speech is restored. And all of a sudden, he starts to sing this prophecy. And I don't know if you noticed it, but this prophecy that he's singing at the birth of his son, 2/3 of it isn't even about his son. It's about Jesus, the Messiah. And he starts with these God has, what God has done in the past statements. He's visited. He has redeemed us. He has sent a Savior. He has been merciful. And then he shifts to this future perfection about when he talks about heaven breaking in upon them and how the light will be given and it will shine in the darkness and it will show them the path. But right there in the middle of it, he says, yeah, but even now, God is with us. He says, we've been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear. Now. In holiness. Now. In righteousness. All this stuff is happening. All this remembering what God has done. All this promise of what God will do. All this happening right in front of them. God moving, acting, restoring, and they missed it. Which brings us to the John passage. This is the one that we usually read. This is the one that probably a majority of the churches around the world are preaching on today. It's the triumphant entry of Jesus, and he comes in riding on a donkey, just as the scripture says. You remember? And they're waving palm branches. Our translation said, praise God. Most of the translations say, Hosanna, which translates, save us. We sang about this morning, Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us. That's what Hosanna means. Now, we have time on our side, right? We can see the other side that they couldn't see. We can see how God had saved them in the past through battles and slavery and wandering and sacrificial lambs that would work for a time and then they'd have to do it again. And we've seen in the past God's faithfulness, even when God's people were unfaithful. Time and time again, God was the God who saved them. And we live on this side of the cross, which we're going to celebrate the resurrection next Sunday. Be here and bring a friend. So we understand resurrection in a way that they didn't because it hadn't happened yet. We know that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross would forever bring salvation to anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So we believe that this God does and will save and will redeem and will restore in this future perfection that God has promised. But even now, in the story, when Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, God, through Jesus, was saving them even at that moment as Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies and the will of the Father. Even as Jesus was being faithful in the moment to the plan of redemption, God was in that moment in the act of saving them. And they missed it. Right there in front of them. And they missed it. So I've been wondering this week after I've been reading these scriptures going, why do we always miss it? Because if we're honest, we probably miss it a lot more than we see it. I'm not saying we want to. I'm just saying we do. Why did they miss Jesus? And I mean, I wrote down a couple of things. There are probably other reasons. Why were they missing Jesus? Why were they not seeing God's salvation for them in that moment? Well, I think one of the reasons is God was bringing salvation from sin, but they were wanting salvation from the Romans. God was wanting to physically save, or spiritually save them, but they were wanting to be physically saved. God was bringing salvation to all. They were only looking for personal deliverance. I think they missed it because God's plan from the beginning has been to be a light for them to be a light to the nations, for all of humanity to be saved. And that would happen through Jesus, but they were more concerned with their personal power, their national power. And I get that when you're being oppressed by a foreign occupancy for hundreds of years. I get that. But I think that may be one of the reasons why they were missing all that Jesus was and all that Jesus was doing, because he wasn't what they were looking for. And yet, Jesus still came to them in the past. Jesus will still come in the future, and Jesus still comes to us now when we are looking. It reminds me of the Grinch. You remember the Grinch when he talks about how, what does it say? Like, it came without ribbons. It came without tags. You know, perhaps Christmas means something more. Maybe I've been missing it. That's me paraphrasing the Grinch. I'm not trying to talk like him. I'm just saying. And I sit there and I think, maybe this salvation that Jesus has for us is a bit more than what we've been looking for. Are we missing it? All of this, right in front of them, miracles, love, compassion, the fulfillment of prophecies, the healings, the teachings, all of this, and they were missing it. So I wonder today how often we miss it too. I wonder how many times we are more concerned with our personal agenda, our political agenda, our interpretation of Scripture agenda, our hot button issue agenda, and we miss Jesus among us because we're looking for the wrong things and at the wrong things. I was thinking this week, how often do we think, whether we'll admit it or not, that Jesus cares about everyone, but mostly America? And we giggle, but we live like we believe that a lot more than we're willing to admit. How often do we say, God is love? But we miss his love through our anger and our violence. We know that Jesus ministered to everyone, Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, priests, sick people, demon-possessed people, diseased people, poor widows, the beggars. But do we miss Jesus because he said he's with those types of people? But we refuse to get dirty and be with them too. So we miss Jesus simply because we're unwilling to be near where he is. I wonder. Scripture says time and time again, he's with the marginalized. And yet, how often when we pass the marginalized, are we less thinking, there's the image of God, and more thinking they should pull themselves up by their bootstraps? We see this example of Jesus living life in community. He said dozens traveled with him. He had 12 specific apostles. He had 3 that he deeply loved, and they were the inner circle. And yet we say, I would rather just have my personal Jesus. I don't need anybody else. Not even imitating the Jesus that we know was in Scripture. Jesus served where the need was. And I confess, I prefer to be served more than serve. Do I miss Jesus by my preferences? By my unwillingness to serve others? Those are some of the things that have been bouncing around in my head. But today is Palm Sunday. Today we still celebrate the resurrection. Today there is still good news to be found. The good news is, regardless of what we've been looking at before, we can choose to once again turn our eyes upon Jesus. We can still open our eyes and see the Jesus who comes to us, who lives within us, and who wants to work through us. We don't have to miss it. We don't have to miss him today. That's good news. Lent is a time where we step back and we say, God, open my eyes. I want to see Jesus. It's a time for us recalibrating our vision and our hearts and our minds to see Jesus and the work of Jesus and what God is doing in the life of the world so that we can conform ourselves to him and be transformed by him. Right? We spend these weeks in Lent preparing our hearts so that when Easter comes, it's not going up to 10. It's like going up to 11. This is our time. This is our time to be like the guard and say, have I been missing something, Jesus? You're with me every day. Am I missing you? That's good news. We have a God who is with us now, who wants to talk to us and show us what God is doing so that we can participate. We can join in. We can be changed. We can be moved. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's good news, right? And that happens because we serve a risen Savior. That happens because God isn't just a God of the past, and God isn't just a then and there someday. God is with us here and now. That is exciting news for everyone. I'm convinced that if we would honestly ask Jesus to open our eyes, two things would happen. One, we would be amazed at the way God is moving in the lives of people around us. Because God is moving. The question is, are we seeing? If we said, God, open our eyes, I think we would start to see God everywhere. Moving in people's hearts, moving in people's lives, in their actions, changing us, calling us to join in with people, calling us to change some things. But we would see God moving in the lives of those around us. The second thing is, we would have this relentless passion to run toward where God is actively present and moving, and we would want to join him wholeheartedly. I'm convinced that people who truly know the saving power of Jesus would never want to only surrender part of themselves. The gospel is just that beautiful. It's that powerful. It's that changing. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to take just a moment. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want to ask you a question. Are your eyes open to see all that God is doing in the world around you? Or are you missing Jesus? We saw three examples where people miss him. We could have found 30 more. But we can also find these beautiful examples of where people had a clear vision of who Jesus is. And it changed them forever. I think of, who do people say I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. Well, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. Clean, clear vision in that moment. And Jesus says, I'm going to build something through that faith. If your eyes are open, you need to be looking for ways to participate with what God is doing. If your eyes aren't open, I encourage you, even now, you can say, God, open my eyes. We pray before our reading, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Maybe we should add, God, open our eyes so that we can see you clearly. Because if we can see you clearly, we'll follow you. Give us clear vision. Jesus, that's our prayer. We celebrate you coming in to Jerusalem thousands of years ago. We celebrate because we know what lies ahead of you, and we know that only you could do this. God, I don't want to miss you. And I also don't want to think that every movement of you has to be earth-shattering and huge. So often, majesty comes in the mundane. Open our eyes. The big, the small, the good, the bad. If you are living in us, you are in that moment. Help us to see your plan for us in every situation so that we can live into your love. We pray this. Risen Jesus. Amen.
And this is the week. This is the week when Jesus with his disciples had what we call the Last Supper or the Eucharist, whatever you want to call it. This is when he sat around with them, 12 of his closest guys, 12 that followed him, one that wanted him to act a little bit differently than he was and betrayed him. He still sat around with him, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." But what I want us to hear is, "This is my body broken, this is my blood shed, so that you can be set free." We often forget that Jesus represents freedom. And as you take this today, Jesus wants to set you free. Jesus doesn't want to put a bunch of rules on you. Jesus didn't come to say, "Hey, now that you're following me, there's all kinds of religious oppression on you." No, there is true freedom in Jesus. So let's, this week, as we remember him and what he did, that we can be set free. And I'm still just learning what freedom in Christ means. So I know there's a few of you that want to help this morning, if you'll come on up. And let's just pray and prepare ourselves to receive what he has for us. Father, we praise you, and let us really comprehend this gift that you have given us, this love that you have given us, this sacrifice that represents true freedom, set free from all the religious burdens, set free from the rules, and has set love in our heart in a way that was never known before. We praise you, and we're excited about this journey you're taking us on. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have a couple different stations. Pick a side and come up. If you don't know what to do, just copy the person in front of you.
Okay, so you guys may not know this, but there is a method to the madness here. So we have kind of a guiding thing that we do for how we set up the service. I'm letting you in on some information. And it's four things that we do every Sunday. Okay? We gather to worship. We grow together. We give our thanks. And then we go to serve God. That's what we do. Gather, grow, give, go. Can you say that? Gather, grow, give, go. And so when we give our thanks, we come. This is the great Thanksgiving here when we take communion, that we come with such gratitude for what God has done. And one of the other ways that we respond to God's goodness and love is that we give of ourselves. We give of our resources. We give of our time. We give of our talents. And so I wanted to make sure that we take the time to say, God, we want to be generous like you are generous with everything that we have. And so there are ways that you can give financially. And I think that there might, I don't know if there's a slide, but you can give in the boxes in the lobby. You can mail something in. You can give online. We encourage you to do this because this is one of those things that shapes us, and it's also a way that we can give our thanks to God, because everything that we have is from Him. Everything belongs to Him anyway, and if, you know, I believe that when we trust Him with all that we have all that we need, right? And so I encourage you to be a generous giver. It does something good to your heart, I promise. We also have some announcements, because what we do together is important too. And I don't remember what they are because they're on my phone that's down there, so I'm just going to go. We have connection cards. Either you can do it online. We also have some little ones kind of laying around in different places in the back. Please fill out your information. Hey, even if you've been coming for a while, will you do it so we can make sure that we have your right information, because you might think that we have it, and we might not, right? I don't even know if I may need to check my information. So do that. Joy, twin. Joy and I like to wear a uniform to church. Hey, and Mandy, too. I mean, we could get family pictures today. We really could. I wanted to why don't you say what you were going to say, and then we'll show a little clip. How's that? She loves this.
So much. So much. My favorite thing ever. So Friday night, we had a glow worship in here, followed by a glow hunt outside with the kiddos. We had about 50 kids, and it wouldn't have been possible without you guys. The candy was amazing. They loved it all. I just want to say thank you, those that showed up, that helped, those that prayed the rain away. I appreciate you. It was fantastic. It was amazing. And it seemed to be loved by all. Roll it.
Yeah, roll that beautiful bean footage. You never know when those lights may show up on a Sunday morning. You be ready. You be ready for the glow sticks. Maybe next Sunday. I don't know. Probably not. But maybe. You never know. That's you! Woo! Y'all, this is what we've been talking about. We are called to be good stewards of the kids and the teenagers that God puts in front of us. And so I want you to take some time this week to pray for every kid that showed up. You may never know their name, but I want you to pray for them. And then let's see, what's next? Good Friday. We are joining with, okay, here's a little secret too. So a few years ago, our friends from Thrive, they were like, we've never really done a Good Friday service. Can we come to yours? And so we were like, well, heck yeah, come on. And so they came, and they loved it so much that they stole it from us and invited, no, I'm just kidding. No, but we on Friday night will do the service that we have done here in years past, but we're going to do it together. And y'all, it is meaningful, and it is gut-wrenching, and it is good. It is good. And so I encourage you to make it a priority of your week to be there on Friday at 7 p.m. Just over at the high school. It's just across the street, so it's not, you know, you're not spending any more gas to go over there. So please come and experience the Jesus tornado there. I know, finally. Next Sunday is why we can even show up here on the other Sundays. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and this is the week that statistics say people will show up. They'll show up on Easter and Christmas, and the people who show up on those Sundays, for some reason, this is their church. They may not come other times, but they feel like this is their church. And so we all have some work to do to prepare our hearts to be hospitable, to take on the responsibility for anyone who comes through these doors to make sure that they know that they are loved and that they are in a safe space. But before then, it's also our responsibility to be, to go. Remember, gather, grow, give, go. Go this week so that you can include them next week when we gather. Because that's the whole reason that we come. We want people to know the reason for the hope that we have. And so please invite friends, invite family. Let's pack this place out and show people how much Jesus loves them. And then finally, The Chosen. How many of you have been watching this? Don't you just love how they portray Jesus in this, like, series? They do such a good job. I actually know one of the people that works on it, which is kind of cool. But we're gonna bring it here. I don't know how, Garen, but I'll let you explain that later. We're bringing it here. Maybe Jesus will show up. Who knows? So just be looking for information about that. Youth group, we will start back after spring break. And then we'll be inviting our middle schoolers to be a part of that, those going into middle school. And that's pretty exciting. So that's it for me.
Yeah, I'm excited about The Chosen. We have obtained the rights to show season 4. So, and the good news is they're all individual episodes, so it's not like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So, season 4 was released, the first third in theaters in January, I think, and then the second third in February, and the third in March, or something like that. And so we are, I've got to work it out. We're probably going to start this in June, do a June-July thing, almost like a weekly movie night that you're invited to come to, just because we have so many things going on with the preschool that we can't do it before school's out. So, yay! All right, stand with me. We'll give you more information about The Chosen as it comes. But that also gives you time to watch seasons 1 through 3. So, yeah. If you're visiting with us, we sing our benediction, and so receive it. If you're a regular, or you just happen to know the tune, sing it loudly with us, and we will see you next week for Easter with you and your friends. All right? Let's sing together. We sing hallelujah, let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes. Let your will be done as we go in your name. We shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us. Go this week and don't miss Jesus.